Welcome as we come to worship today, and whether you're joining us online or indeed in person, we bid you a very warm welcome today. Psalm 14 says that the fool says in his heart, there is no God. I often read that verse and kind of thought the fool says in his heart, as in the stupid person says in their heart that there's no God. But what it actually means is the person who's really proud and arrogant believes that they're God themselves, and so therefore they don't need the God that we've come to worship today. But we've come to worship with one heart and one voice, the creator and sustainer of the universe, the one who is able to help us in our times of trouble, encourage us in our times of joy. And so we turn to him in prayer. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for the opportunity to come before you, the opportunity to gather with one voice and one heart to give your worship or praise or adoration, to lay before you the burdens of our hearts, to hear your word read and proclaimed amongst us, to be transformed by your Spirit. And so as we spend time together as a community of faith in this place, we pray that we will be transformed, renewed, refreshed by the power of your Spirit, that we'd leave this place changed for the better, but most importantly for you, our gaze and our focus lifted to the one who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask, seek, or would even dare to imagine. In his name we pray, amen.
The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant.
So we've been thinking through the book of Colossians over the last couple of weeks. This idea of looking unto Jesus. The mega themes that we've looked at in those are this sufficiency and that Jesus is all supreme. So he is everything that we need, and he is the ultimate authority in all that we do. We thought that a couple of weeks ago we talked about endurance and patience and joy, all common in the same sentence, which sounds really weird actually. To have endurance and patience and joy at the same time. But Christian joy, biblical joy, is something different for us, isn't it? It means that we can rest assured that we know God is with us, that his presence is with us, that he's aiding us, he's helping us, and he will be there for us. And last week as we left, we were encouraged to very specifically pray some of those words in Colossians over somebody else, to pray specifically for someone this week. And to let them know that we were doing it, to let them know we were praying for them. It's really good to pray for each other, but it's also really good to know that somebody's praying for you. And to be told that is a great encouragement in our walk and in our faith. So if God is all supreme, if God is all sufficient, why do we not rely on him more? Why do we turn our own ways and to our own strength before we sit down to pray and to rely on God? That's a really good question for me. It's been a really good question for me as I prepared for today. Because I know sometimes whenever I think something or I find myself in a certain situation, I kind of almost rush to fix it But then sometimes I actually have to take a step back and say, okay, God, what's in this? What's it about? What are you doing in the midst of this? Can I have the strength to face it and to look into it? That's what verse 15 in chapter 1 is all about. It says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all of creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authority, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and him all things hold together. Wow. He's in everything. He created everything, and he holds all things together. Why do we rely on our own strength? Preacher included, as he asked that question. If he's in all things, created all things, and holds all things together. Sometimes we might even rely on other gods that we've set up for ourselves. Sometimes we might think that our career or money or affluence or position might actually help us or get us through whatever it is before we actually turn to God and look in reliance on him. The gods of this world are all around us. We know that. They entice us, they encourage us to walk away from him, to hide from him, to reject him. But yet it's clear from the scriptures today that if he is the creator of all things and he is in all things and he sustains all things, then he should be the major part of our lives. And what we do, how we think, how we say, and our actions that we do. The prince of this world, the devil's blinded our eyes to those things sometimes. Sometimes we try to do it on our own strength. Sometimes we think it's all about me. But we need to open our eyes, our ears, our hearts, our souls to Jesus. Like we began the service with today in Psalm 14, the fool says in his heart there is no God. That's not the stupid person. That's the arrogant, the proud person that says, I don't need God. I can do this myself. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. Verse 18 says, and he is the head of the body, the church, the beginning and the firstborn amongst the dead, so in everything he might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. He is supreme. There is no greater authority than the God that we've come to worship today. Even that letter to the Colossians, it states that he was raised from the dead, that he forgives our sins because of the cross. And it's important that we understand and that we know that. That we understand and we know that what Jesus has done for us, his death on a cross, has brought forgiveness into our lives. That is freely available for you today. If you haven't got to that point in your life of receiving him as Lord and Savior, that is available for you today. That the fullness of his Spirit comes to dwell within us whenever we give our lives to Jesus, whenever we hand it over and say, God, I can't do this in my own strength. And we set down our pride and our arrogance and we say, God, I need you. That's the simplicity of the gospel. God meets us in those moments and he says, I am here for you and with you, and I will continue to walk for you and with you. The fullness of his measure dwells within us. And sometimes we just need to ask. Some of you may well have heard me share this story before. This story relates to my eldest, my firstborn. Getting a dirty look. Relates to my eldest, my firstborn, whenever she was much, much younger. She was around 5, and we went to Portrush, and we were going to build sandcastles, but stupid daddy had forgot the bucket and spade. We couldn't build sandcastles without bucket and spade. And so, like all good girls, we had to visit the White House. Apparently, ladies like to visit the White House a lot in Portrush. It's a set route for us whenever we go to the North Coast. But spied a bucket and spade in the front window and knew that the bucket and spade would be for sale in that Toy Master shop. And coerced with those little teddy bear eyes her daddy to buy a bucket and spade so we could build sandcastles on the beach. So when we goes to buy the bucket and spade, we had to buy two pink buckets and two pink spades because Daddy had to help. And so she went up to the counter. Now, bear in mind, only five, so it was about my height. But the counter obviously was much taller than what she was at that stage. And the two ladies behind the counter were having a conversation with each other in chit-chat. And she set the buckets and spades up on and the ladies continued to talk to each other. And eventually, I was standing back, observing what was happening. And standing back, eventually, Rebecca went, so one of the ladies stopped talking, looked over the counter, said, "Oh, would you like to buy those?" And Rebecca looked at her and went, "Yeah." As much as to say, "I'm in a shop, and you sell them, and I've set them aside to till. Of course you want to buy them." At which point the lady looked down and said, "Have you got money to buy those?" She goes, "That's what I brought him for." But there was an understanding, even amongst a five-year-old, that she couldn't do that in her own strength or in her own capacity or capabilities, that she needed her father to help her. And I wonder, how often do we rely on our own strength and we don't turn around and ask our Heavenly Father to help us with some of the most simple tasks, actions, and words in our daily life? Can't just stick. We can't just say, "I've got so far with God, I'm going to stop here." That's not what this letter to the Colossians encourages them to do. It encourages them to push on, to push out into something completely new. They take responsibility for their own journey and their own faith with God so they can grow and deepen and so that they can turn around and they can say, "Dad, will you help me with this?" And whenever we do that, other people will start asking questions. Why are you not doing that for yourself? Why do you seek God in the midst of your trouble? And those are the moments where we have the awesome privilege of sharing why we have faith and a belief in the God that we've come to worship. We do all of that in the framework that Jesus is all sufficient. He has everything that we need, and he is all supreme. He is the ultimate authority in everything. He created it, he is in it, and he sustains it. He is everything. He is more than enough. Because more than enough does not adequately describe what Jesus is. He is everything. The head of the church, the fulfillment of the prophecies, the fullness of life. And that's nothing short of an adventure if we follow that. And that's the adventure that William begins today. As he begins a journey of faith, he's already doing that. He's already been a part of this community of faith. But as his family, his parents, and his wider family help him in his faith, and help him to grow and nurture him into the fullness of all that he is and all that he can be, we too do that here. That's nothing short of an adventure. And God is not finished with you yet. He's not finished with me. He's not finished with you. He's not finished with us yet. He has so much more for us still to come. Let's step out into that adventure, knowing that he is with us. Let's pray together. Father God, thank you that you are present, sufficient, and supreme. Grant us an adventure with you, not only to know you, but to journey with you, to grow with you, and daily to turn around and to look unto you for everything that we need. You be our vision today, we pray. Amen, as well. But we close with our blessing today. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more, now we ask, seek, or would even dare to imagine, be him and glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations. May the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon each one of us this day and forevermore. Amen.